Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today there was a press conference at the Capitol, downtown Denver, and the 2012 Colorado Right to Life Amendment was introduced, and it was very exciting. We will play for you some audio from some of the speakers. The weather was a bit rough. It got sort of windy, and so our audio recording is not the best. But I think you'll be able to hear from Christy Burton Brown and then Jane Brennan and Kevin Swanson. This should be interesting. Also, I'm going to read to you from the text of the amendment itself. And so a very significant development today at the Colorado Capitol on the West Steps, announcing the 2012 Colorado Right to Life Amendment. This is going to be significant. Round three. Here in our state of Colorado, this will be, Lord willing, the fourth statewide vote on protecting the life of the unborn child, young boys and girls. So now let's jump right into it. Let's get to the audio, and we'll begin with Christy Burton Brown.
Hi, it's so good to be here today with all of you. I'm Christy Burton Brown. In 2008, my dad and I co-sponsored the very first Colorado Personhood Amendment. And we are back at it again today. Now is not a time for quitting. Now is a time for continuing, for stepping forward. When we believe in a cause, when we believe that all innocent people must be protected, we do not step back. We step forward. We continue on in the fight to protect every single innocent human being. Every innocent person deserves the equal right to life. That is something that our society misses today. We do not give the equal right to life to every human being. We give certain rights to certain people. Enough of that. It's time to be equal. It's time to change and to do the right thing here in Colorado. Colorado is a state that takes a stand. We're a state that leads. We need to lead in this issue. It is time for us to try again and do what the people of Colorado know in their hearts is true. I firmly believe that the people of Colorado know that every single innocent human being deserves the chance to live. The chance to live their life just like you and I do. That is what this is about. It's about promoting human dignity, intentionally giving equal rights to every person, no matter their age, their stage of life, or what they're doing. This is about promoting human dignity and giving equal rights. Gualberto Garcia Jones and I wrote the new language today that you'll be seeing in the paper after our press conference. And one of our goals was to stop Planned Parenthood and company from all the lies that they tell to the people of Colorado and around the nation. They lie and lie and lie again. You will see that our language is very clear this time. No one can doubt our intentions. No one can doubt the effects of what this personhood amendment will do. It is very, very clear for the people of Colorado to see. And we believe that the people of Colorado want to protect every innocent human being. Civil rights movements throughout history have always taken time to win. If you believe in something, as I said, you cannot quit. You must go on. Martin Luther King Jr., William Wilberforce, and actually the voters in South Dakota, who 7 times put an amendment on their ballot to give women the right to vote, show us that you must go on and on and on to win something. That is our goal today. We look to these heroes in civil rights movements who have gone before us, and we recognize that defending innocent life is the civil rights movement of the 21st century. We ask that the people of Colorado join us in protecting every innocent human being and caring for their mothers, for their fathers, and for every person until every single person is protected through love and through law.
So that is Christy Burton Brown, who was the sponsor first time around, round one in Colorado, of the 2008 Amendment 48 Personhood Amendment effort. And now we're going to go, we'll hear from three people. Jane Brennan, who's involved with a crisis pregnancy center effort here in Denver, Colorado, Lighthouse. Now, Jane Brennan is a spokesperson for Lighthouse, and they have purchased a property, a home. Now, some people call this home charming. Other people say it looks like a crack house. I'd say it's somewhere in between, or maybe it's a little of both. It's right across the street from Planned Parenthood's mega abortion mill in Denver, Colorado. So Jane Brennan is a spokesperson for this crisis pregnancy center. And by the way, Lighthouse, they've just purchased this facility, and they'll be preparing it to open soon to reach out to the women who are desperate and think the only answer is to kill their child. And so Jane and others will be reaching out to those women. So let's hear now at today's press conference for the 2012 Colorado Right to Life Amendment. Let's hear from Jane Brennan.
I support personhood because our children are not our enemy, and women can do the things they want to do and achieve the things they want to achieve without having to have their babies killed. When I was a young college student, I became pregnant. I was very scared and confused, and everybody told me I had a problem. And that's the way they looked at my situation, as a problem. And they told me the way to deal with the problem was to get an abortion. I didn't see any other way out because no one wanted to help me or support me. Even the father of the baby didn't want to help me. So I had an abortion. It was a very painful, degrading experience. And I dealt with all that pain with drugs and alcohol. And I tried very hard to believe that abortion was the best thing. And I even went on to have another one. But I began to talk to other women and heard their stories about how abortion hurt them. I even put together a book of stories. It's called Motherhood Interrupted. My story's included in there. And I began to see how harmful abortion actually is to women and what it does to women. And how these pro-abortion groups, they really don't care about women. They care about abortion, and they care about keeping it legal. And they will lie to women, and they will use women and manipulate women for their cause. And they think that women are too weak and stupid to get out of their bad situations, so they have to convince them to have their unborn baby sucked from their womb and thrown in the trash. Well, I personally believe that women deserve better than that. And that's why I'm involved with opening up the Lighthouse Pregnancy Center, because it'll give women the help and the support and the respect and the dignity that they deserve. And personhood is about helping women, because women do deserve better than abortion.
Jane Brennan also wrote the book Motherhood Interrupted. And as she mentioned, Lighthouse there, Lord willing, that will be open soon, right across the street at 38th and Pontiac from the Planned Parenthood abortion mill, their mega killing center here in Denver, Colorado. So we've heard from Christy Burton Brown and Jane Brennan. By the way, Jane, formerly, she mentioned that she has had two abortions, tragically. Well, she was involved with NARAL. So she's a former NARAL member, and now she is speaking out on behalf of the unborn child. Let's now hear from someone who for many years was the head of CHECK, the Christian Home Educators of Colorado, Christian homeschool organization here in this state. And Kevin Swanson has his own radio broadcast for years. He's on the internet, Generations Radio. He's been one of Colorado's most outstanding Christian leaders, and that for many years. In fact, he was the pro-life candidate for governor back in 1994. Kevin and his wife, their beautiful family, they've been serving the Lord faithfully. And now, so we've got some high winds, and so the audio recording, our recording was a little bit of a challenge there. But let's hear now from Kevin Swanson.
At what point in the biological development of a human being might we refer to that organic, growing, living being as a person under the law? At 1.5 months of pregnancy? At 1.9 months of pregnancy? At 2.9 months? At 3.7 months? And what is your rational basis for calling that child a person? The severing of an umbilical cord? That, my friends, is not a rational basis for the personhood of a child. In an honest moment, I think anybody would admit that. There is what we would call a biblical basis for what we're talking about here. Now, I know that this is not persuasive to some who reject the Christian faith for other faiths. But for Christians, and I understand there are a few Christians who go to church here in Colorado, I think it would be helpful to remind them that Psalm 22, Psalm 139, and Luke 1 recognize the personhood of the child in the womb. In the Bible, God relates to the babies in the womb as a person. And remember, the Christian church has always defended the life of the unborn child all the way back to the first century publication of the Didache. We're asking one simple question today: when does a baby become a person? We're not debating whether it might be appropriate for some individual to be put to death under the law if they committed some particular crime, for example. We can deal with those questions on a case-by-case basis. Those are separate discussions. We're asking this question: when does a baby become a person? There is one simple answer for that: when the baby starts to grow, cell by cell, tissue by tissue, organ by organ, inch by inch. And I don't think I could say it better than Dr. Seuss: a person's a person, no matter how small.
All right, that's Kevin Swanson and Jane Brennan and Christy Burton Brown. And I so appreciate them. Also, their Guabe Garcia Jones, Gualberto Garcia Jones, who was a sponsor last year with Leslie Hanks. They were both there. This 2012 Colorado Right to Life Amendment is a coalition effort between Personhood Colorado, Colorado Right to Life, Personhood USA, and other leaders and organizations that are coming on board. This is the announcement today of the wording of the amendment, and I'm going to share that with you in just a moment. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. The press conference was very well attended by media, print, radio, TV. On my ride back to our studio, the Bob and Yurt Live studio, we're nestled in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains between Denver and Golden, Colorado. And I had on the radio, and KOA is Colorado's number one talk radio station. And so I turned on KOA in top of the hour news. Sure enough, they announced that a pro-life group is launching round three of the Personhood Amendment effort in Colorado. And we recall that just a couple weeks ago, Mississippi had a statewide vote. So while there have been a quarter of a century of claims that the most we'd ever get to vote for a total ban on abortion is 15% to 20%, in Colorado, we got 27%, then we got 30%. In Mississippi, they got 42%. And so this is with many, many Christian organizations that claim to be pro-life opposing personhood. With many of them opposing personhood, we're still blowing the doors off the conventional wisdom of how many people would vote to protect every child by love and by law, the percentage. And so unless groups like National Right to Life and the Catholic Bishops, United States Catholic Bishops Association, or the Republican governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, unless they want to claim that combined they have no influence whatsoever, just zero influence, then we could realize that they're the ones who killed the Personhood Amendment in Mississippi by supposed pro-life leaders coming out and refusing to support personhood, actually opposing and undermining personhood. So, but that opposition from people who claim to be pro-life, that opposition each time around is getting weaker. It's getting weaker, and the voice for personhood is getting stronger and clearer, so that the first hurdle to cross is the hurdle of the Christians and the pro-lifers who oppose efforts at right-to-life amendments. That's the first hurdle. And so these campaigns are educating the very people who claim to be against abortion. And so we'll get there. We'll win the army back to the principle of the God-given right to life for the innocent, and especially the unborn child. Okay. Once again, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So here's the wording, and you'll be among the first in the nation now to hear this. Be it enacted by the people of the state of Colorado. Article 2 of the Constitution of the state of Colorado is amended by the addition of a new section to read Section 32, the right to life. So right now there is no Section 32. If this passes, this would create a new section, Section 32, the right to life. And it has four sections within it, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And two of those have subsections, 2 and 3 have A through E. So I'll share these with you. Section number 1, purpose. In order to affirm basic human dignity, be it resolved that the right to life in this Constitution applies equally to all innocent persons. So for starters, the right to life applies to all innocent persons. 2, effect. So part 1 was purpose. Part 2 is effect. The intentional killing of any innocent person is prohibited. And then beneath that, there's A through E. To clarify, what does this apply to? Birth control that kills a person shall be affected by this section. In fact, it says only birth control that kills a person shall be affected by this section. Only in vitro fertilization that kills a person shall be affected by this section. So IVF, does this affect IVF? No, this doesn't affect the creation of life, but it does affect the destruction of life. So I'll read B verbatim. Only in vitro fertilization and assisted reproduction that kills a person shall be affected by this section. C, medical treatment for life-threatening physical conditions intended to preserve life shall not be affected by this section. All right, that's medical treatment. Now, what is this referring to? This is referring to, of course, the life of the mother and, of course, the life of the baby concern. Medical treatment for life-threatening physical conditions intended to preserve life shall not be affected by this section. So when Planned Parenthood lies and says this will ban in vitro fertilization, if they try to save the mother's life, the doctor's going to go to jail. This is going to ban contraception. So these lies are being addressed in the text of the amendment. D, spontaneous miscarriage shall not be affected by this section. That is, Planned Parenthood actually told women that they could be arrested for having a miscarriage. So they were lying to women. So spontaneous miscarriages shall not be affected by this section. E, no innocent child created through rape or incest shall be killed for the crime of his or her father. So no innocent child, regardless of the circumstances of their conception, shall be killed for the crime of his or her father. Three, section three, definitions. As used in this section, person applies to every human being, regardless of the method of creation. That's person. So regardless of its fertilization or twinning or some other method of bringing a child into existence in the laboratory or not, doesn't matter. However you come into existence, person, it applies to you. The definition of a human being is a member of the species Homo sapiens at any stage of development. Spontaneous miscarriage is the unintentional termination of a pregnancy. Child includes a human being prior to and during birth. Medical treatment for life-threatening physical conditions intended to preserve life includes, but is not limited to, treatment for cancer, ectopic and molar pregnancy, twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome, and placenta previa. And finally, the amendment says that this is self-executing and severable. All provisions of this section are self-executing. All right, let's go to the phones. And I think on a completely unrelated topic, in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Chris, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing well, sir. What's up?
First, I have a comment. What was her name that she founded?
Founded Planned Parenthood?
Yeah.
Margaret Sanger.
Sorry, it was right on the tip of my tongue.
That's all right.
In the very beginning, and I mean, you'll hear this, you know, behind closed doors in feminist groups, because a lot of people idolize her.
Hey, could you speak up, Chris, a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Initially, when Planned Parenthood was founded, they wouldn't admit to it, but it was really designed just to kill black babies.
They had a Negro project, and there was a significant effort to reduce the black population. The eugenics movement was a racist movement, although they were happy to kill all kinds of kids, not only black children. In Tennessee, the textbook that was at issue during the Scopes Monkey trial showed different minorities, including blacks and native peoples from around the world, and if I recall, Jews also, as right. one step above apes, above animals. So it was Christians and creationists who were trying to stop that kind of racism that had its home in the evolution movement, the atheist movement, and the eugenics movement. But right. go ahead, Chris.
Well, I was on your website today, and I am having a hard time in the archives finding. You don't talk a lot about end times, do you?
About the end times. We have a seminar on the end times called Last Days. It's part of our plot series, the overview of the whole Bible, and the fifth Bible study album, and it's available for download and on an MP3 CD. And if I recall, it's a full-day seminar on the last days, the end times. We also, Chris, have a verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation, which is really fun. Of course, that's all end times. And we created not only an audio downloadable, but a DVD verse-by-verse study of the book of Daniel, which deals also with the end times. So it's a very important topic as Christians who want to study and understand God's revelation for us. But as a talk show host, I don't do a lot on the end times. You're right, but we have a lot of Bible teaching on that topic.
Right. See, I'm a big fan of like Hal Lindsey and Jack Van Impe.
Yeah.
And I really get the feeling that 95%, if not more, of prophecy has come to pass. I don't believe that we're in the tribulation, but...
No, I think if we were in the tribulation, everybody would know it.
I was about to say, you'd know it.
Yeah, right.
You would know it.
At least as described by the Lord in the Gospels and as described in the book of Revelation by John, we would know that we were in the tribulation. You know, years ago I had Hal Lindsey on the show. Of course, I read, along with 20 million others, his late great Planet Earth.
Yeah.
And Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, and especially the last chapter of that book that was so great. But I do challenge somewhat Hal Lindsey's basic claim that I think now we could see is an incorrect interpretation of Matthew 24. He claimed that Jesus taught that the nation that saw Israel reestablished in the land would be the last generation. And when he taught that, he went through the Bible and he made an argument that a generation is 40 years. Now, normally, a generation would be considered 20 years about as human beings grow up, get married, and start to have kids. But okay, biblically, he said it would be 40 years, and Israel became reestablished as a nation on May 14th, 1948. Now, that's a long time ago, right? That's more than a half a century ago.
I thought in biblical times that a generation was considered 100 years.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be 100 years, Chris. And you know why? Because the Lord didn't come back within 40 years of that 1948 date, as was claimed by, I consider Hal Lindsey, a dear brother in the Lord. He's led many people to Christ. I love him. I look forward to fellowshipping with him in heaven. But we become caricatures of ourselves when we keep changing what we claim. And yeah. So Jesus' end times prophecies are so different from what is claimed in end times prophecy ministries. Very, very different.
You mean him in general or end time prophecy as a whole?
Jack Van Impe, Hal Lindsey, the things that Jesus claimed about the end times is very different from what Jack and Hal claim would be for the end times. Very different. And we go through that. We have an end times seminar that we did just a few days after 9/11 in Indiana. And so many Christians were thinking, just like they thought that World War I and then World War II were signs of the end times, they thought Halley's Comet in 996 was the end times, and the Black Plague and the turning of the calendar to the Y1K, you know, the first 1,000 years. And throughout history, Christians, because they love the Lord, they always conclude that they're living in the last generation, always. So we need the wisdom to be able to get a bigger picture view. Hey, Chris, if you ever check out our end time studies, I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Sure. Thank you, Bob.
Hey, God bless you. Appreciate you calling.